Morning. Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Lent. We gather together to hear what God is up to and then how can we better get in on it. So welcome this morning. Mark is going to be leading us in our music in a minute. Adrian is going to read the scripture from the book of Genesis. We're going to be baptizing Jordan. He's back here with a little bow tie on, and dedicating Julia and dedicating Luke this morning. And Luke's grandfather, Chris, is going to dedicate him. Fun to get in on stuff like that. Gail lost her voice, so I'll be celebrating the Eucharist this morning in Gail's place. Is that okay? Glad you're here. Stand with me, please, and let's read antiphonally our call to worship. I'll read the light, you read the bold. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Pray with me. Almighty God, your blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. Come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Lead us, Martin.
Destiny that is yet awaiting me. My life's not over, a new beginning just begun. I have a hope, I have this hope. God has a plan, it's not to harm me, but it's to prosper me and to hear me when I call. He intercedes for me, working all things for my good. Though trials may come, we have this hope. I will yet praise Him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand and give Him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and He turns it into light. I will yet praise Him, oh Lord my God.
People just standing. There we go. There's some hands. Come on, this is a hope. We got a hope in God. He's good. He's a good God. Here we go. Verse 3. My God is for me. He's not against me. So tell me whom then. Tell me whom then shall I fear. He has prepared for me great works. He'll help me to complete. I have a hope. This hope. Goodness and mercy, they're gonna follow me, and I'll forever dwell in the house of my great King. No eye has ever seen all He's preparing there for me. Though trials may come, I have this hope. I will yet praise Him, I will yet praise him, oh Lord my God. There's still hope, there's still hope for me today. For the God of heaven loves me. There's still hope for me today. For the God of heaven loves me. There's still hope for me today. For the God of heaven loves me. Still hope, there's still hope for me today. For the God of heaven loves me. Yeah, I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, oh Lord my God. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, oh Lord my God.
I'm just kidding. So reading the lectionary this week, it's really interesting. So interesting passages. But what really stood out to me a lot was just God's call on us to love as Christ does. To even love those, especially those who won't love in return. But our hope is in a good God. A trustworthy God who's always steadfast in his promises.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, a rescue for sinners, a ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn.
See you.
Messiah, name above all names, a blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, answer from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Lord of all, Lord of all. I've heard a thousand stories of one thing, fake your life, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers, far and searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Unexplainable, I can hardly think as you come deeper still, as you come deeper still, as you come deeper still into life. Love, you're a good, good vibe. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good one. I'm perfect in all of your ways. It's who you are. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. It's who I am. It's who I am.
could confirm. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Lord, thank you for showing us your ways. Great mercy and love. You are a good, good God, loving and faithful. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning as we continue to worship and give you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, we're reading out of Genesis chapter 9. Verses 8 through 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I am now setting up my covenant with you, with your descendants, and with every living being with you, with the birds, with the large animals, with all the animals of the earth, leaving the ark with you. I will set up my covenant with you so that never again will all life be cut off by floodwaters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the symbol of the covenant I am drawing up between me and you and every living thing with you on behalf of every future generation. I have placed my bow in the clouds. It will be the symbol of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember the covenant between me and you and every living being among all the creatures. Floodwaters will never again destroy all creatures. The bow will be in the clouds, and upon seeing it, I will remember the enduring covenant between God and every living being of all the earth's creatures. God said to Noah, this is the symbol of the covenant that I have set up between me and all creatures on earth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Adrian. Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, chapter 1. And read verses 9 through 15. And again, if you have it in your pew Bible, would you yell it out, the page number, Mark, chapter 1? 761, if you're using a pew Bible, Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Our epistle reading is from 1 Peter. This will be harder to find. 1 Peter chapter 3, so when you have the page number, if you'd yell that out, 1 Peter chapter 3, it's going to take a while. It's back there, I promise. 926, page 926, 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark. in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. You have a sermon outline in your worship folder if you care to use that. I'll be referring especially to the back of it as the sermon concludes. You can't buy health. How do you get it? Proper diet. Spinach and apples. An exercise. You lace up your Nikes and you go for a brisk walk. Eating a proper diet and exercise are two things that deliver health. Or to put it another way, health is delivered to us by physical means, like good food, and by our actions, a brisk walk. Spinach is a means to health. A brisk walk is a means to health. Grace is like health. You can't buy it. How do you get grace? Spiritual realities like grace are delivered to us by physical means, like the bread and cup, and by our actions, like fasting. The Eucharist is a means of grace. Fasting is a means of grace. This is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent gives us 40 days to deliberately present our bodies to the Lenten disciplines, or the means of grace, so that grace can be delivered to us. These first Sunday of Lent readings get us in on the delivery system of baptism. Baptism is an initiating grace. It's something we do one time, and it initiates our salvation, our sanctification. And it's appropriate that we talk about baptism because of its prominence in Lent. In the early church and throughout the history of the church, Lent was a time to prepare for baptism. We're talking about grace this morning and the means of grace, so it's appropriate to get a good working definition for grace. Let's go ahead and put that up on the screen, and you'll see that we have sort of a two sentences or two phrases, two lines that get at a working definition of grace. Grace is the activity of God in our lives, saving us, healing us from the disease of sin or from physical maladies that keep us from serving fully, freeing us from any guilt or fear or condemnation, and empowering us to do the things that the Lord Jesus has asked of each of you. So it's the activity of God in our lives. You see, the second line, the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe. How do you have faith? How does it grow? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to believe, to love, to be able to lay hands on people and pray for their healing, to, as we learn how to do this, cast out demons, and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. This is grace, the activity of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit empowering us. This morning, let's look at the Noah story, and then let's see how in Jesus' baptism, you have a combining of this physical in the water act, with the descending of the Holy Spirit, one act, one event. And then let's look at 1 Peter, how Peter goes back and uses the Noah story to talk about baptism. And I'll just share with you right off the bat, the Peter text is difficult. And so as I preach, I'll be scratching my head trying to figure out what he's trying to say, and you probably will be too. And if you get it, if you have an aha when I'm preaching, come up and explain it to me, okay? Because it's not the easiest text in the world. And if we weren't following the lectionary, I would never preach from it. So thank God for the lectionary. You get everything, even stuff I don't like. Or, no, I like it. It's Bible. Whoof. The Noah story. Reading the chapters before the text that Adrian read in chapter 9, God was sorry that he had made humankind because the intent of their heart was evil always. And the Bible says he was deeply grieved. If anybody tells you that God doesn't feel, take them to Genesis. He was deeply grieved. Ah, nuts! What did I do? This didn't turn out like I'd hoped. And so what does God do? Chapter 6, verse 7. Humans together with all flesh, all animals, birds, things that creep, are going to be destroyed. And so he calls Noah to build the ark. Noah and his family go into the ark, and two of every kind of animal, clean animal, goes into the ark, and they're saved. When the waters abate, Noah and his family come out of the ark. And in chapter 8, verse 21, God promises, he makes a covenant. You read the text, reread what Adrian has read. The word covenant is over and over and over and over again. And the covenant is this: I will never, ever again destroy all flesh with a flood. And you get also in this reading, over and over and over again, the notion of a sign. The sign is the rainbow. And the bow is a reminder to God of this covenant that he's made. Normally, we need the reminder, but in the Genesis story, God needs the reminder, apparently. And so, will you let your imagination go a little bit? Here's God in heaven turning the faucet on. And it's raining. And he likes rain. And it's cool. Angels, check this out. Look at that. And then off to the side, there's a cloud and there's a rainbow that forms. Whoa, wait a minute. I got to turn this off. We can't have too much of this. I promised that it wouldn't get flooded anymore. So he goes and turns it off. The bow is a reminder to God of the covenant that he's made. Now that's heretical for some of you that have God as this. Talk to Adrian later. He's the one that read the text. A reminder. Noah, his family, pairs of animals are saved in the ark. Now let's come to the Mark text. Jesus, starting out his ministry, comes to John, goes down into the water and is baptized. And as he's coming out, the heavens open or are torn apart and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Baptism in water, something physical, and the descending of the Holy Spirit, the dove, combined into one event. This spiritual reality of the Holy Spirit descending comes alongside the physical act of Jesus going down into the water and getting soaking wet. And now 1 Peter. Peter is writing in chapter 1, the first verses, to exiles in dispersion who are suffering. The church was under persecution, and so people were spreading out, leaving urban centers and fleeing for their lives, basically. They were exiles in dispersion, and they were suffering because of the persecution. So suffering is a main theme in 1 Peter. And in fact, in this text that we read, in verse 18, it initiates the passage by reminding us that Christ suffered, and then it concludes, I didn't read it, but in chapter 4, verse 1, reminding us again of Christ's suffering. So Christ's suffering is the theme of this text. And so what you have in this passage is Peter basically retelling the core of the gospel. What about Christ's suffering? He died on a cross. And when he died, after he died, Peter says, and this gets really gnarly, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And you get a hint of who he's talking about, those people who are disobedient in the days of Noah. What is that all about? And then Peter goes off and does a kind of a sidebar on baptism. Then he talks about Jesus then after, or you know, when the preaching is finished, he's resurrected and goes into heaven. And currently then he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And he has subjected all angels and principalities and powers underneath him. This is the gospel, dead, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Peter says, baptism saves you. And he reaches back to Noah for explanation. In the same way that the few were saved in the ark from the flood waters, now it's water, baptism, that saves you. The destructive force of water is now contrasted with the saving water of baptism. A one-time act that you do in water, something very physical, it delivers salvation or saving grace. So Lent is the season in the Christian calendar when we prepare for baptism. And on Easter Sunday, some of you don't know this, there's a baptismal tank here, and it'll be open, and candidates will be baptized. Our Spanish-speaking church that meets at 1 o'clock will be baptizing people. They tend to baptize more than we do. Nuts. I mean, praise the Lord. I'm always wanting, Jonathan, how many did you baptize? Oh. At the same time, on Easter Sunday, you'll be invited to come forward, you who have already been baptized, and there will be people with bowls of water, and they'll make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and they'll exhort you to remember your baptism. Just sidebar, I Googled... Don't even need any books anymore. I Googled remember your baptism this week. And the first thing that came up was a deal that a guy had written on five ways to remember your baptism. And he's produced little cards that are waterproof, and you can hang them in your shower. And every time you get into your shower, you can read this prayer and remember your baptism. He also says, when it rains, go out into the rain and let yourself get wet and remember your baptism. When you go to the beach and you're sitting on the beach, meditate on the surf, the washing power of the ocean, and remember your baptism. Now, what common earthy ways for us to say, yeah, you did save me. Thank you. You imagine what that would do to you every time you got in the shower, you just spent 30 or 40 seconds praising the Lord for your salvation? How would that tone up your day, right? Like lifting. Remember your baptism. We're going to do it Easter Sunday. You'll be in the same way that the ashes were imposed on you on Ash Wednesday, in the form of the cross, the water will be imposed and you'll be exhorted to remember your baptism. Lent is also the season where we deliberately present our bodies to the other delivery systems of grace as well. On the back of your sermon outline, you have two lists of Lenten disciplines. These are not exhaustive. You that were here for Ash Wednesday, and you that have been following the readings, incidentally, there's Lenten readings on the table at the back. If you'd like to follow the Lenten readings throughout the season of Lent, those are back there. This list of disciplines is not new to you. Neither is it exhaustive. In fact, you'll see that acts of mercy have been added. I want you to, we've already spent time with these, so I'm not going to go over them all again, but I'd like you to take a pencil, if you would, or pen. And you might need to share. And I'd like you to write under the list of engagement this discipline. Care of others. Care of others. And then you might want to put a slash or under that or in brackets, write this. The sacrament of routine. The sacrament of routine. So care of others and the sacrament of routine under the disciplines of engagement. Come with me. A couple of weeks ago, Jamie, our youth pastor, during the prayers of the people, asked us to pray for young families, particularly young mothers with young children. At the same time, Gail Wallace, our associate pastor, introduced us in staff to some books along this line, and one book that she recommended was A Way in the World, Family Life as a Spiritual Discipline. I referenced this a couple of weeks ago. And the thing that got me in this book and got me reading it was the introduction where the author, Boyer, is attending a lecture by a Harvard scholar on spirituality, spiritual formation. And the lecture had to do with people in the early centuries leaving their homes and churches and whatnot, going out into the desert and fighting demons and getting spiritual on their own, living in caves like hermits and that sort of thing. And so Boyer went up to Dr. Parks after the lecture while she was putting her notes away, and she looked up, and he said to her, just one question, is there child care in the desert? And so he wrote this book, Family Life as a Spiritual Discipline. There's a story in here of a minister who encouraged a young mother in his church. She was interested in spiritual, she wanted to go deeper with God. And so he encouraged her to read the Gospels, just sit down and read them through and make reading the Gospels through a discipline. She came back a few days later and slammed the Bible down on his desk, and she said, I'll never read the New Testament again. Why? Because in the Gospels, we are exhorted to leave our mother and father and our families. In fact, Jesus says, hate your mother, father, and families. We're exhorted to sell everything, get rid of everything, and follow him. And the one story where family is talked about, it's Martha in the kitchen who's getting a shot taken at her, and Mary who's sitting at Jesus' feet doing this great thing. I started thinking. The model for discipleship in the Gospels is a single man, okay, Jesus, but he's a single man, inviting other men. Now, I know women are included, but when the list of disciples are named, it's 12 men. A single man calling other men to leave their father's businesses and to leave their families to follow him. In fact, at one point, Peter says to Jesus, hey, we have left family to follow you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that what discipleship is? We've given up everything? How does a stay-at-home person, I think specifically of either a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, hear all this? Where are there models in the Gospels for working moms? So I read the book. And Boyer says that care of others is a spiritual discipline. And he uses language like sacrament, and he talks about the sacrament of the routine. Whether the routine is caring for a baby or caring for somebody with dementia. The routines that make up family life. I thought further, how is it that marriage, God said it's not good for a human to be alone, so God made a helper suitable for them, and birthing children is the one thing we do that's like God. God creates life. When a man and a woman come together in a loving marriage relationship, they're able to create life. There was no life. They're able to create life. That's what God does. That's image of God. How is it that marriage and the ability to birth children and the the long-term effects of that, two of the things that make God smile the biggest seem to be marginalized when it comes to spiritual formation, spiritual disciplines, means of grace. So when Boyer says that care of others, that routine care of others is a means of grace, it makes sense to me. So what I've done this morning, I went into our nursery and got a newborn diaper. And I'm deliberately putting it on the table. Will you allow that in the same way that grace comes alongside the bread and the cup, grace comes alongside changing a poopy diaper, whether it's a newborn or an old saint? Would you allow that this newborn diaper could also be depends? I think it would please God for us to add care of others as a spiritual discipline during this Lenten season. And for us to see that, no, I can't wait till I get these kids grown up and then I can really serve God, but to see that in the changing of a diaper, God is most pleased. And in the changing of a diaper, grace is delivered. May this be a word of the Lord to any of you who feel otherwise this morning. My mom was a consummate cook. When I think of Phyllis Winslow, one of the first scenes that flashes through my memory banks, my mom with a flowered apron on, and I mean that in both senses of the word, standing at the stove in front of two cast iron skillets of frying chicken. Mom would normally say, before dinner was ready, she would announce, "Dinner's about to be served. Get washed up, turn the TV off, or quit your homework, or come on inside. Dinner's about to be served." And so we'd go, we'd stop what we were doing, come in and get washed up. And then as she was putting the food on the table, she would normally say something like, "Dinner's served," or "Now we can eat," or "Let's sit down and say grace. Dinner's ready." It's quite simple, really, the rhythm. Mom provided, we ate, and me and my three siblings grew into four healthy adults. Sometimes we were more healthy than we should have been with all that good food, probably. It would be ludicrous for me up in my room to hear Mom announce, "Dinner's ready," but to stay in my room and then wonder why I was hungry or why I was anemic or why I was weak or why I couldn't make the football team. Yet a burden that I carry for the church is that that tends to be the state of many who follow Christ. Baptism waters are offered. The bread in the cup is offered. Study is recommended. Fasting is recommended. Acts of mercy are recommended. Weekly worship is recommended. Changing poopy diapers is recommended. But to get in on the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I have to come downstairs and wash up and sit down and eat. Because spiritual realities like grace that we all want in our lives are delivered to us through physical means, through our actions. Before you take a few moments to reflect quietly, I want to read again from the liturgy of Ash Wednesday. Again, you were here when Ash Wednesday heard this, but I'd like you to tuck yourself under it again and let this be sort of your way of sliding into a few moments of quiet reflection. In the liturgy for Ash Wednesday, there's the formal invitation to the observance of Lenten discipline. Let me read it and call you to it again. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I therefore invite you in the name of the church to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now quiet our hearts before our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. Take a few moments and reflect and hear what the Holy Spirit may be saying to us this morning. Amen. In our tradition, corporate prayer, both corporate prayer and private prayer, are also means of grace. We pray several ways here in response to the word. The altar will be open. After the benediction, there will be people on either side of the altar. If you'd like to come and be prayed for, have someone pray for you, lay hands on you and pray for you. Otherwise, if you're kneeling at the altar here, nobody will bother you. That's a sign that you want to pray by yourself. We have the great Thanksgiving, the table of the Lord. You're invited to come to that. We also have blue notes up here. These come from our community meal. We serve people on Saturday and here in our campus. Some of these are in Spanish. Some of these are in English. As you're filing by, if you would like to take one of these and keep it with your Bible or your journal or by your bathroom sink and be praying every day this week for a prayer request that came from our community meal, you're sure invited to do that. That's a way of us showing some solidarity with our brothers and sisters who come on Saturday. We also pray prayers of the people. You have a prayer request, you say it out loud in a sentence or two. If I hear you properly, I'll repeat it so that we can all hear it, and then I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and we'll respond with, hear our prayers. What are the prayers that need to be prayed in the congregation this morning that you want to bring to us? Dave? Okay, good. Care for others. Yeah, okay. He'll need more prayer than you. Okay.
I'm not so good at it like he is, so I
okay. We pray for the Cashel family. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Okay, Free Methodist Hospital in Rwanda that needs a doctor, Central Africa. Lord, in your mercy, imagine a hospital without a doctor. brother's daughter's daughter, 9 months old, diagnosed with cancer. Okay, tumor has shrunk, praise the Lord. Okay. Salvation of my nephew. With you, Lisa. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Michael? For the Lord's rain to fall on Somalia. Lord, in your mercy. And Michael, I'm going to take that as double. R-A-I-N and R-E-I-G-N. Amen. Okay, pray for Clarence, 90 years old, discouraged, has to stay in rehab for another week. So for Clarence, Lord, in your mercy. Shootings in Florida. Horrible accident on the freeway. So for life lost in Florida and on our own freeways. Lord, in your mercy, remember families. Amen. Okay. Roommate from college, heavily depressed, asking for prayer. With you, Troy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Okay, niece walking into a disastrous marriage. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Transplant? I didn't hear. For what? Kidney transplant. Brother-in-law in Peru, kidney transplant. Lord, in your mercy. Right. Okay. Bless you, Jody. Where are you? And the conversation in adult ed, race conversation. Yeah, amen. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Just to pray for, is it okay, Bev, pray for you, lost your brother this week. And Gail, who's normally here, is in Kansas, lost her brother this week as well. So two of our friends from Foothill Vista, we pray for you, bless you. You'll be going to Texas probably. Okay. Lord, in your mercy. Our country. Yeah. Say no more. You've said everything. For our country. And as Jody's conversation kind of loops into this, how do we be a prophetic church in our country? Lord, in your mercy, our prayers. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, so praise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our praise. Amen. All right, we're going to tuck three babies underneath God's grace this morning. We're going to baptize one and dedicate two. Are they here? Come on up, babies and supporting cast. All right? Yolanda is going to be translating our service into Spanish. So, come on, you guys. Oh, don't cry. We haven't even started yet. I'd cry too if you put me in a suit like that, Dad. Look at that. You got the tie on. Yeah. You got the bow in the hair, and this guy's got a tie on too, doesn't he? Doesn't he have a little tie on too? Some of you that wear t-shirts and shorts need to smarten up. Look at this. Can we scoot over a little bit? Oh. I'll do this real loud, okay? I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it, do the liturgy in English, and then Yolanda's going to be translating. Let me have that mic again. Can I, where is it? Tell us who your people are, first of all. Can you do that again?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm David. That is my nephew, Kevin. That's my oldest son, Francisco. That's my brother-in-law, Pocho. My sister-in-law, Violeta. Our daughter, Liv. My beautiful wife, Raquel. And my son, Jordan Michael.
Okay, good. Tell us who's here with you guys.
Yeah, I got my sister, Vinitha, and my brother-in-law, Peter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And?
This guy, you know, Jaden.
Hey. Yes. Okay, cool. And who's here? Just who are we up here?
We have my dad and my mom and his brother, Luke's brother, Jeffrey, and Valerie's parents, Gene and Lori.
Okay, cool. Welcome. Glad you're here. Okay, Yolanda? Okay, let's see if we can do this, okay? Dear friends in Christ, God through Moses made covenant with Israel, saying to the people, "And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise."
Muy amados amigos en Cristo, Dios por medio de Moses hizo pacto con Israel, diciendo a su pueblo, "Y estas palabras que yo te mando hoy estarán sobre tu corazón, y las repetirías a tus hijos, y hablarlas de ellas, estando en tu casa, y andando por el camino, y al acostarte, y cuando te levantas."
In the days of the new covenant, Christ Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter declared, regarding the salvation given through Christ, "The promise is to you and your children."
En los días del Nuevo Testamento, Jesús Cristo dijo, "Dejad a los niños venir a mí, y no se los impidas, porque de los tales es el reino de Dios." En el día de Pentecostés, el apóstol Pablo declaró, hablando de la salvación por medio de Jesucristo, "Para vosotros es la promesa, y para vuestros hijos."
It is therefore our privilege to present our children to the Lord, and our duty to raise them in His ways. These parents now bring their children to offer them up in dedication and baptism, and to pledge in the presence of this congregation to bring them up in the Lord's discipline.
Por tanto, es nuestro privilegio presentar a nuestros hijos al Señor, y nuestro deber criarlos en sus caminos. Estos padres traen ahora este niño y niñas para ofrecerlos en la declaración y para prometer en la presencia de esta congregación criarlos en la disciplina y en la amonestación del Señor.
Okay. We doing okay? How are you doing, Mom? Everybody extend grace to the Monroe family. Just means of grace. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not going to be that bad, honest. Okay, we have fun. Hurry up. We have some questions here. Do you, in the presence of God in this church, solemnly dedicate your child to the Lord? Go ahead and say that. Go ahead.
Dedicas tú solamente en la presencia de Dios en esta congregación a este niño al Señor.
That's your plan, you guys and family. Excellent. Do you, so far as you're able, on their behalf, to renounce the devil and his works, the lure of the world, and of our sinful desires, and so that in the training of your child, you will not be led by them, and so that, so far as you are able, you will keep your child from following them.
¿Renuncias tú hasta donde es posible, en lugar de este, al diablo y todas las obras, la vana pompa del mundo, y los deseos pecaminosos de la carne, de modo que en la enseñanza de este niño, seguirías ni serías guiado por ellos, y para que hasta donde te sea posible, impedirías que él los siga.
Got that? Good. You guys? Okay? You guys? All right, good. Will you faithfully strive by word and example to lead your child to personal faith in Christ?
Te esforzarás firmemente por precepto y por ejemplo conducir a este niño una fe personal en Cristo.
Okay. All right. Good. Do you accept the authority of the Old and New Testament?
¿Aceptas la autoridad de Antiguo y de Nuevo Testamento?
Bible. Good. Good. I'm assuming you guys. Out of them will you diligently teach your child the commandments and promises of the Most High God, raising them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Enseñarás de las mismas con diligencia y a este niño los mandamientos y promesas de Altísimo Dios, creyéndolo en la disciplina y en la amonestación del Señor.
Good. Excellent. Okay. Strasser family has decided to have their Jordan baptized. And so why don't you guys come in around the water here. And would you show your support for these families by standing, showing that support. And if any of you would like to come forward when people are baptized or dedicated, now can make a crowd, but I'd sure appreciate it if you feel comfortable doing that, coming and laying hands on people. So let me take him. You think, will he let me hold him, you think? You okay? Here, come here, buddy. Does he look kind of weird, doesn't he? Yeah, you got that? Okay. State his full name.
Jordan Michael Strasser.
Jordan Michael Strasser, baptize you in the name of the Father. Yeah, it's a little bit cold, isn't it? Name of the Son, yeah. And of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that as you grow, you will say, like Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. And as you grow, you will say, here am I, send me. Amen. It's going to be more fun than that, I promise. Oh, yeah. And Lord, we pray for mom and dad. We pray for the family that your Holy Spirit would be empowering them and coming alongside and helping them keep the promises and the covenant they made today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can I hold you?
Yeah.
Is that going to work out? Well, no water this time, I promise. State the full name of this child.
Julia Joy Jacob,
we dedicate you to God and to his service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we pray that early on you will say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And early on you will say, here am I, send me. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Dad. We bless you, Mom. Bless your big brother. And we pray that the covenant you've made this morning, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and empower you to so raise Julia. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What do you think, church? Amen. 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 Grandpa's going to dedicate Luke. Chris, ordained elder in the Free Methodist Church. Wait, I need a mic.
You know what, get that back in.
You know what you're doing there, Grandpa?
Luke Bion Munro. Even as Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be consecrated and set apart for what lay ahead, we lay our hands on you, that you would be consecrated and set apart, dedicate you to the purposes that God has for you in your life. And Luke Bion, may you live up to the meaning of your name. Be light and life. may be a reflection of the light and life that is in Jesus, that people would be drawn to him as they're drawn to you. And may you be full of the Holy Spirit and exemplify the gifts and graces of our God. And thank you for the blessing, Lord, that also rests on mom and dad and the grandparents, us, Lord, and big brother, Jeffrey, and on Chris and Jen, the godparents, and, Lord, on all those who will be there to support and encourage and participate in the raising up of this young little man of God. Yes. Right. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Now may the peace of the Lord be with you. Would you move around the room and bless those with peace and hug some of these people too? I'm glad we have coffee in the courtyard after. We can continue this then, okay? The table at Foothill Community Church is an open table, understanding that it is a means of grace. The invitation is to any who would like to get in on God's grace. You're invited to come. In order to prepare yourself for the table, though we are reminded of our inability to measure up, to live at the level that we would prefer. And so part of our liturgy is a confession, acknowledging our weaknesses and our sins. Would you pray this together with me as we prepare to eat and drink together? Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Quoting from 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But based on your act of confession and God's word, I simply want to declare to you that you are forgiven. Night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread. When he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you and for many, for the remission of sins. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Pray with me. So we invite you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to come alongside these vehicles of grace. And may they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be Christ incarnate in our world, redeemed by his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are four people going to serve you. They'll be standing at the ends of the altar. I invite you to, starting at the back and side aisles, come down the side aisle. You can take the bread and cup. You can kneel at the front if you'd like and eat and drink. Return via the center aisle. And then I'll benedict you. And if you'd like prayer, as I said, there'll be people stationed at each end of the altar here. Or if you'd like to just come and pray as the service is ending, you're invited to do that. Will those that are serving come forward now? The table is open.
Fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are gonna let me go. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me go. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me go. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me go. Let's stand, church.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me go.
Music is going to keep playing. When I'm done praying, you're invited to coffee in the courtyard or linger to pray. We'd ask that if you do want to talk, let's save it for the lobby or coffee in the courtyard. We go now underneath your good, good Father hand. You are good, good, oh, oh. We tuck ourselves underneath your goodness as we go out into our world this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worship him. Great.